Now, Courtney has got in touch with us. She's 17 years old and a sixth form pupil at Ballycastle High School. This is Back to Buses, slightly different than the story we had at the top of the programme. Courtney is concerned about what's been going on her bus journey in the morning. I spoke to her earlier and asked what the problem was.
I contacted yourselves due to my concern for the safety of others in the bus. Our bus is crazy with the numbers of people standing in the morning.
And this is the bus you get from your house or near your house to the school?
Yeah, outside my house to directly to the school.
And what was the problem with it?
It's just, the school always says, always make sure that you get a seat and the importance of wearing seat belt and so on. But whenever the bus reaches my length, there's a good number of people standing already. And then we have another good 15-20 minute trek to school, and then we're collecting more pupils, and that increases the number standing in the bus.
So how many do you reckon on an average morning on your journey to school are standing on that bus because there are no seats?
Roughly around about 15.
Now that seems like quite a few. Does it feel like it's very busy when you're on that?
Very busy. Just there's no room to move, and I feel like you're standing on top of people. And if somebody needed to take it off the bus, they're squashing past everybody to get out.
How long has it been like this?
It's been like this since the start of the term, September. And I thought, well, because it's new year, new intake of pupils, I thought I got calmed down. But it's just continuing on.
And in previous years, has it been like this or did you not take this route?
No, last year there was only a couple standing, but this year there's more. I think because there's more first years coming from the local area getting that bus, there's more seats being took up and more people having to stand then.
So what are your concerns, Courtney?
It's the fact that we're coming into the winter time now with the icy roads and stuff, because our bus goes along wee country roads. So just a matter of if that bus skids and somebody falls, it's just for the safety that everybody's got a seat and wearing a seatbelt if provided.
We did go to TransLink on your behalf, Courtney, and what they've said is that this is a normal passenger service and not a dedicated school bus operated with a low floor vehicle. So most of the buses on this route have 44 seats with standing room for 27 passengers. So they're basically saying that it's not an official exclusive school bus. People are allowed to stand. It's not against the rules up to 27. What do you say to that?
I understand if it has to be a public bus, it has to be a public bus, and a school bus is a school bus. I understand that. But the fact that they're putting it down as a public bus with majority being school pupils on it, if we did pick up a wheelchair passenger or a buggy passenger, where and how do you fit them on the bus? Because there's no room. We would all have to get off the bus to let them on, for them not to probably get a seat or make room for them, and then for all of us to pile on again. There's just no room to do that.
Do you see many people on this bus that are not on their way to school?
No, very rarely.
So usually, well, you tell me, usually how many would you say are on that bus that actually aren't school children?
Maybe once a week there's one person that would come into the town and get off at the town, and that's about it. There's no like public getting on, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's mainly used, regardless of what it's you know, named under, a school bus, a public bus, whatever, normal passenger service. There are 99% is what you're saying of these people on the bus are actually school children.
Yeah.
We also went to the Education Authority. They also said this is not a dedicated school bus and a number of standing passengers are permitted on this service. However, they did say that the EA has requested that TransLink review this service and report back as soon as possible. So we're moving along here, Courtney, slightly. And then we got a statement from from Ballycastle High School in relation to this and that the concerns that have been raised by yourself. They say the school contacted TransLink by telephone in relation to this matter and was informed that the bus, once again, was a service bus. So in case you haven't noticed so far, they're saying this is not a school bus. And therefore, they say it's permitted to carry 22 passengers standing, which is a slight difference from the 27 from TransLink. But anyway, they go on to say that Ballycastle High School will continue to liaise with TransLink and the Education Authority to seek to ensure the safety of pupils, as they, of course, hold that as paramount. Are you feeling like you're getting anywhere with this at this point, Courtney?
I do indeed. After contacting yourselves there last week, yesterday we had a bus inspector on the bus. It was the same small bus as usual, but there was a very low number stand. I think it was due to the fact of the weather conditions on Monday and Tuesday.
Sorry, say that again, Courtney. So there was an inspector on the bus when?
There was an inspector on the bus yesterday morning.
And when did you contact this programme?
I contacted yourselves there last week.
So we've been in touch, and in the meantime, they put an inspector on. And do you know what that inspector was doing on the bus?
She was recording where she stopped at, how many she gathered up. She was also ringing another bus, which is near enough in the same route, to see if some of us could be transferred onto that bus.
And was that just for that day, or is that as a long-term measure?
For a long-term measure, I think, what she was getting at.
I guess people will say, fair play to Courtney. You know, we sometimes assume that 17-year-olds or people in their teens don't care about things like this.
Yeah.
But you're concerned enough that you've contacted us. What do your friends and other people that get this bus with you say about it?
They say that something needs done, because they can see it from my point of view as well. There is an accident waiting to happen.
Well, let's see what happens, Courtney, because as far as we're aware, that through in conjunction, the Education Authority and TransLink and in links with your school, Ballycastle High School, they are going to review the situation and see what happens. So we'll come back to this in a couple of days' time. You keep us posted and we'll see if we get any more information on this.
Will do.
Courtney, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It is Friday, which means tomorrow is Saturday. Thank goodness. And on your behalf, good morning, Linda McCauley.
Good morning. Vinny, I was about to congratulate you on doing something constructive there while Stephen's not here, getting things sorted out for a girl on a bus. Well done.
He'll not like to hear you say positive things about me. Over the top of him.
Oh, no, I'll always say positive things about you, Vinny. But I will tell you what's happening tomorrow morning on your behalf. It's a month since Universal Credit rolled out in Limavady, and it's rolled on now to Ballymoney and will be rolling right across Northern Ireland over the next 10 months. But I should stress, in case I'm panicking anybody, it's only for new applicants, although everyone will eventually be migrated in the next couple of years. According to the government, it's designed to simplify benefits. It's 6 into 1 and make work pay. But the experience in England, and I'm sure you've read stories in England, Vinnie, has set alarm bells ringing, because the waiting time from when you get some money, from when you claim till you get the money, it's meant to be 6 weeks, and it's putting people further into debt. So we're talking about that with the experts from the Law Centre and CAB. We're also finding out why volunteers are the heart of CAB, Citizens Advice Bureau, why they need more and what volunteers get out of it. And I went to talk to 2 volunteers during the week, and they said it was just a wonderful experience of getting out, being needed, being involved, having a structure to their lives and yet helping at the same time. So if you'd like to help, we can certainly tell you how to do that. There'll be links up on our website. And a man who hasn't been able to get out of his house since January. Now, he was ill and he's now confined to a wheelchair. But despite having the right medical forms, he'd been waiting since January to get his licence renewed. And I said to him, you know, what would you like to do when you get your car again, your licence? He said, just like we run out to Forestside. He said, that's all I wanted, to get out of the house.
Stuck in your house. And when you're told you can't go anywhere is when you want to go somewhere.
Well, that's all he wanted. I said to him, where would you like to go? I thought he might say, we run up to Port Rush or we run down to Newcastle. He says, all I want to do is get out of the house and get to Forestside. So that's tomorrow, 9:45 till 10:30 on your behalf.
Quick question. You strike me as maybe an Iron Maiden fan, are you?
Oh, yeah. That's noisy stuff.
Well, we have Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden on the programme after 10 o'clock.
Is he the guy who's an air pilot?
He's a pilot. He flies their jumbo jet around on tour.
I saw that. And he used to fly them. I saw
I thought you were going to say that you've seen them in concert, and I was going to be very impressed. Linda McCauley, thank you very much. We'll see you after your news at 10 o'clock.
I'll listen to that, Vinny. Thanks.
Now, at 10 o'clock, the news from the BBC. The Stephen Nolan
Show! On 92 to 95 FM
and 1341 medium wave,
this is BBC Radio Ulster.